may be seated. In the book of Revelation are seven letters of encouragement written to seven churches in the times of the early Christians. And one of those seven letters was written to a church in a town called Philadelphia, which was in modern-day Turkey. And from what we can tell, the Philadelphian Christians had a good thing going. We get the impression that they were faithful. In the letter addressed to them, they were noted for their patient endurance. And they were also one of the only churches that didn't receive any critical feedback. They weren't reprimanded for anything. But they did receive an encouragement. And that encouragement is printed for you in your worship folder. It's the scripture passage for today's devotion. Jesus told them, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." What are the things that you have that you hold on to tightly in this life? What do you devote most of your thoughts to, devote most of your energy to, spend most of your time doing? Maybe when you have persecutions or hardships coming your way, what do you cling to? What things do you have in your life that you hold on to the most? I brought a couple of things with me here this morning that I know that in my life I hold on to. And some of the things I brought with, I don't exactly have, but I hold on to them in one way or another. And I'm willing to bet that you do as well. So the first thing I brought was $2. $2 is all I had. In fact, it's not even mine. I had to bum it off somebody in the cafeteria this morning. And I will get it back to that person. But whether you have a lot of it or whether you don't have any at all, money can be something that we hold on to tightly and even hold on to with a tight grip in our lives. I also brought with me a picture of my family, my wife and my daughter here. And my family is something that I hold on to very tightly in this life. We could include friends or extended family or significant others in this category. I'm willing to bet that all of us here have at least one person, if not many people or countless people, that we hold on to in this life. The next thing I have is a trophy. And this trophy is obviously not mine because it's a basketball trophy. But let's say that this trophy stands for accomplishments. And now we know that in life, some people have bigger accomplishments than other people. Okay. There are some people here in this chapel today who have some incredible accomplishments, who have done some amazing things. Are those things that you hold on to in your life? The next thing I have is something very special. Like the trophies, it's something that I haven't earned. Somebody on this campus was gracious enough to let me borrow it for today's chapel devotion. And this is a PhD. And so this symbolizes the highest possible level of education that you can get in this life. So let's say this represents education or knowledge. And all of you are here to gain knowledge, or you're here to get a college degree. Will that be something that you hold on to in this life? Got to be careful with this one. All right. The next thing I have is somewhat self-explanatory. And this is a large picture of myself. And I think you know what I'm getting at here. Sometimes we can hold on to ourselves, right? Now, this was a gag gift, by the way. I didn't really have a large picture of myself printed and put into a frame. It spends most of its time in a closet, but all jokes aside, ourselves, that's something that we can hold on to in our lives. Now, all of these things have a common theme. All of these things aren't bad. In fact, it's important to hold on to these things. I hold on to my daughter physically. When I go home at the end of the day, I pick her up and hold her tight. I hold on to family and friends in my heart. It's not wrong to have money or accomplishments or education. In fact, it's important to have a good handle on those things. We need PhDs. We need leaders in this world. I would say it's even important to have a healthy view of yourself as a redeemed child of God. But when Jesus comes back and he says that he is coming soon, what will you be holding on to the tightest? Or if Jesus doesn't come back during your lifetime and you die, and you're standing before Jesus, what will you be holding on to tighter than anything else? Let's go back to the Philadelphian Christians. What do you think Jesus was referring to when he told them to hold on to what they had? Jesus wasn't referring to their family or friends. Jesus wasn't referring to their accomplishments or their money. Jesus was telling them, hold on to the promise that you have. Hold on to the promise that I, Jesus Christ, am your Savior, and that I am coming back for you, and that I am going to give you a crown. That same encouragement that Jesus gave the Philadelphian Christians, he gives you today in his word. Jesus tells you, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have. Hold on to the gospel promise that I am your Savior, and that when I come back, I'm going to give you a crown. Crowns were a really big deal in the Bible. And throughout the Bible, there's a huge amount of symbolism attached to crowns. Just a couple of examples. In the Old Testament, the high priests, the religious leaders, and the kings, the political leaders, they would wear crowns on their head. The Bible refers to blessings such as grandchildren, or finding a husband or a wife, or living to an old age, or having riches, or even having a good harvest if you're a farmer. The Bible refers to all of those things as crowns. In the New Testament, if you were a runner and you won a race, or if you were an athlete and you won some other type of athletic event, you'd be given a crown to put on your head or a garland to wear on your head. Crowns were a very big deal. They symbolized greatness or success or happiness or joy, blessings. But to have your crown removed was a sign of disgrace. What do you think is the crown that is being referred to in our scripture passage for today? Jesus is referring to a crown of everlasting life. This lines up with what Jesus said earlier in Revelation when he said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." And Jesus promises that. He promises you a crown of everlasting life because he wore and put on a crown of thorns. We don't deserve a crown. I mentioned that in the New Testament, if you were a runner and you won a race, or if you were an athlete and you won a competition, you'd get a crown. If getting the crown of life depended on how we performed or ran or played in this life, we wouldn't come close to getting one. We've all made mistakes. We've stumbled. We've fallen. Some of the ways that we've made mistakes include holding on to things tighter in our life than holding on to the gospel promise. But God loves you. And God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. Jesus came down to earth and he played the game of life. He ran the course. He performed on this earth perfectly in your place. And then Jesus suffered and died in your place. We're told that the night Jesus was arrested, they twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Can you imagine having been falsely arrested and then having been beaten and whipped, spit upon, made fun of, pushed around, knowing that you're on your way to be crucified, and then someone has the nerve to twist together a crown of thorns and put it on your head? Every time you're pushed or you're moved or you turn your head, the thorns drive a little deeper into your skin. That's exactly what Jesus went through in order to win for you a crown of life. Jesus loved you so much, he willingly put on a crown of thorns so you could put on a crown of life. Jesus willingly put on eternal death on the cross so you could put on eternal life in heaven. It's just absolutely amazing. And Jesus did that for you. The Bethany Vikings men's and women's cross-country championships are just a few weeks away. And imagine if right before the race, the UMAC commissioner came out to the teams and said, "You are going to be the champions. I guarantee it. I'm promising that you will be the champions of this race. Doesn't matter how you finish. Doesn't matter how you run. All you have to do is believe this promise. In fact, I'm even going to give you the trophy right now. Just hold on to it. And as soon as you cross the finish line, I will officially crown you as the champions." Sounds just crazy, doesn't it? But that's exactly what God has done for you. God loved you so much that he sent his Son Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus willingly put on a crown of thorns so you could put on a crown of life. There are a lot of things in this life that we will and you will and you need to and you should hold on to and even hold on to tightly. But there's one thing that you need to hold on to tighter than anything else, and that is the gospel promise that Jesus is your Savior, that he's coming back for you, and when he does, he's going to give you a crown of life. After all, it's Jesus' words, not mine. Jesus said, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you submitted to the will of your Father and you willingly put on a crown of thorns so that we could put on a crown of everlasting life. We ask that you send us your Holy Spirit so that we have the strength to hold on to this gospel promise tighter than anything else and hold on to it throughout our entire lives. Amen.